the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Tonight, we will continue our Bible study from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. From verse 36 to the end of the chapter is the story of the sinful woman that she went to the house of Simon the Pharisee. And this part, because it is a beautiful part about repentance and the relationship between forgiveness and the love, that's why we pray it every day at the Gospel of the second watch of the midnight hour. Verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. So the invitation of this Pharisee seems to show the relationship between our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious leaders of Israel. Although he knew that they are against his ministry, but in his kindness, he did not waste any opportunity to bring any one of them to faith and to salvation. That's why when this Pharisee invited him, he did not turn the invitation down. He accepted the invitation. And maybe this Pharisee, maybe when he invited the Lord Jesus Christ, he heard about his teaching and maybe acknowledged him as a prophet. So he invited him to get to know to him more. And we need to explain here that our Lord Jesus Christ did not seek such feasts, but he did not refuse them, because he saw in these invitations opportunity to speak to people about the gospel of salvation. He never refused any opportunity offered to him to do good. Then St. Luke said he sat down. Literally, he laid down. And this was the usual position in the East. And in this case, we have to remember it in order to understand the narrative later on, how this woman came from behind him and anointed his feet. And also we learn from verse 49 that there were other guests, as we read, and those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves. So it was not only Jesus and the Pharisee, but other guests were invited. So the Pharisee probably invited his friends and neighbors and thought that he gave an honor to our Lord Jesus Christ by asking him to meet his friends and his neighbors. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Who was a sinner? He is pointing most probably to the sin of unchastity. And this woman was very known in the city. Who was she? There are actually two opinions, but in reality, the correct answer is we don't know who was she. The first opinion, it is believed to be Mary Magdalene. But there is no evidence in the scripture to tell us that this woman was Mary Magdalene. Neither in the holy tradition of the early church father, nothing mentioned that she was Mary Magdalene. The early church father was silent about who this woman was. The scholar Origen actually rejected the idea that it could be Mary Magdalene. Ambrose, Jerome, and Augustine were doubtful whether she is Mary Magdalene or not. Maybe the first one who emphasized that she is Mary Magdalene, Gregory the Great, who is the first one who accepted the idea that she is Mary Magdalene. The other opinion that she was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And again, there is no evidence in the Bible or in early church father that she is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We know that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anointed the Lord's feet with oil in a separate incident, as we read in John chapter 12. And this was just before Hosanna Sunday, before his entry to Jerusalem. So regardless who this woman was, she knew that Jesus is visiting the Pharisee. The woman actually heard about our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe she heard his preaching and she observed his ministry. Now his preaching and his ministry moved her heart toward repentance and faith. It was a bold step for one like her, with her reputation, without being invited, to come in the daylight and enter into the house, knowing that he is a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were known with their rigidity. But just the knowledge that Jesus was there gave her courage. She felt that no one would dare to push her away in the presence of this loving master. She took with her an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. From Proverbs chapter 7, verse 17, we read, "I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." This means that the luxurious use of perfumes most probably in her ungodly life in order to seduce people to sin, so she was using such perfume. And now actually as a sign of repentance, she is bringing this perfume and throwing it at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was doubtless one of the tools of her guilty condition. She was guilty of using such perfume to seduce the people. And now she is showing her willingness to sacrifice it as a sign of her sincere repentance. As we read in Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 10. "How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse, how much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices." So now she is offering this perfume, and God smells this perfume of repentance, telling her that this perfume of repentance is better than all the spices. Now the most fervent love and reverence of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ urged her to show him the outward tokens of her love. How she expressed her love to our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, she stood at his feet behind him. She felt not worthy to confront him. So she came from behind at his feet, a sign of unworthiness. At that time, the guests reclined at their meals. They reclined on the left side, and their feet, therefore, were extended from the table. So the person coming from the back could easily approach the feet. This woman did not speak, but her tears are more eloquent than any speech, and they were understood by our Lord Jesus Christ. So she came from behind at his feet. Second thing, her tears. We say in the second watch of midnight prayer, "Give me, O Lord, fountains of tear like you gave to this sinful woman." This woman, who was filled with desire to repent, took this opportunity to approach the Lord Jesus Christ and expressed her sorrow and repentance in act of humility. As St. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, that godly sorrow lead to repentance without regret. The Israelites wore sandals, and usually they were taken off when they enter any house. It was the custom, as an act of hospitality and kindness, to wash the feet of a guest. Simon the Pharisee did not wash the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this woman began to show her love for the Savior, and at the same time to show her humility and her repentance by pouring forth a flood of tears, which were quite involuntary, but they washed his feet with the tears of her eyes. So she did not only cry, but she washed the feet by her tears. Also, she kissed his feet as a symbol of love and affection. And she testified her love for the Lord Jesus Christ and her humility by kissing his feet and by pouring the perfume on his feet after she washed his feet with her tears. Usually the oil or the perfume is poured over the head, not the feet. And then she used her hair to dry his feet. At that time, to keep the hair flowing was perceived as immodest. So we can imagine how awkward this scene was, and how everyone, the guests of the Pharisee, silently watched this woman, and how they condemned her. When the Pharisee, as I told you, invited the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reasons he might invited him to know what kind of man he is. He wanted to get to know him more. He heard about him, so he wanted to know him more. So he invited the Lord Jesus Christ publicly. But in spite of this, he received him in a very cold way. He did not wash his feet. He did not pour oil on his head. He did not kiss him. And when this incident happened, it seems like he was like half glad to see the woman acting in this way. Why? In order, this will be a good excuse and a good justification why he did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ in a friendly way. So if anybody told him, why you did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ in a friendly way, now there is an excuse how he allowed this woman to wash his feet with her tear and kiss his feet, etc. That's why we read in verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, so now he is thinking internally, he did not share it with anybody, this man Jesus, if he were a prophet, as if he is saying, I thought you are a prophet, but now I am for sure know that you are not a prophet, if he were a prophet, would know what and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The word this man reflected the arrogance of the Pharisee. Why Simon the Pharisee doubted that Jesus was a prophet? Because he thought that Jesus was unable to see the heart of this woman. If he's a prophet, he would be able to see her heart. But now he didn't see the heart of this woman. So here, Simon is making double assumption. The first, that a prophet would know the character of this woman. And the second assumption, that he would certainly have avoided her. Now, because the Lord did not know the manner of this woman and he did not avoid her, then he is not a prophet. then Jesus wanted to show Simon that he is not only a prophet, but more than a prophet, he is God. By reading the heart of Simon, and he exposed the heart of Simon. Simon saying, if he's a prophet, he would know the heart of this woman. But now, the Lord read the heart of Simon because he was thinking in his heart. Simon also said about this woman, she is a sinner. In Simon's mind, and maybe in the estimation of the whole world, she is a sinner. But before the throne of God, she was perceived, or she was known as a repentant woman. And here we need to be careful. Many people will judge them and condemn them as sinners. But before God, God actually knows that they are repentant. If you think during the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, people judged the thief who was crucified on the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ as a thief, and they condemned him. And they spoke about Judas highly, he's one of the 12 and performed many miracles. But at the end, Judas perished, and this thief entered the paradise. Many times we will condemn people here on earth, and these people will enter heaven maybe before us. Be careful of condemning and judging others. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. St. Augustine has a comment here. He said, St. Augustine said, he, Jesus, heard the Pharisees thinking. The emphasis is on these words. You have been thinking evil of me. I have something to say to you. As if the Lord is saying to Simon, you are thinking evil of me. That's why I have something to say to you. Christ, being all knowledgeable, knew not only the character of this woman, although this was not a big deal because this woman was publicly known by all, but he knew also the secret thoughts and reasoning of Simon the Pharisee, and makes answer to them, which shows that he was not only a prophet, but he is more than a prophet because he is the incarnated Son of God. Then the Lord gave him illustration. Verse 41, he told him, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? This illustration of a creditor and two debtors is from the everyday of our life. The lending and borrowing was a prominent feature in the common life of the Jews. The creditor here is God, and the two debtors here in this parable were Simon and the sinful woman. So in this illustration, the two debtors were of the common people. The money in question are comparatively small. But in both cases, the debtors could never hope to pay their creditors. The 50 or the 500, they could not pay the creditor. Both of them were hopelessly and helplessly broken. But he, God, freely forgave them both without regard to any merits of theirs. They could not have any merits. Why God forgave them both? Because he loved both of them. Then the question, which one will love him more? Both are sinners, both were debtors, both were equally broken. Whether the debt was much or little, it was forgiven freely. And as I explained, his forgiveness is out of his free grace and rich mercy and abundant love. So the Lord asked Simon, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And it was right answer. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. But when Simon said, I suppose, it seems there was an uneasiness on Simon's part to answer this question. Maybe he understood the parable is about him. That's why he was uneasy and perplexed in answering the question, but he had to answer. But the Lord, as his character was all the time, he actually encouraged him and praised him. And he told him, you have rightly judged. Although Simon was thinking evil of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord commended him. And he told him, you have rightly judged. Then the Lord made a comparison between the woman and Simon. Verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. So he turned to her, and then he looked at Simon and told him, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You give me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You give me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. You know why? Because this woman realized that her sins are many. And because she was forgiven much, that's why she loved more. But you think that your sins are not many. There is nothing to be forgiven for you. That's why your love is actually so little. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, to whom who believes that he didn't have so many sins and little is forgiven for him, the same loves little. So in these verses, our Lord compared the affectionate service rendered by this woman in contrast with the cold, unrespectable demeanor of the Pharisee, who did not even observe the custom of courtesy. It was also the custom to greet each guest with a kiss, to offer him a basin to wash their feet, especially if he's honored guest like our Lord Jesus Christ, also to anoint his head with oil. So Jesus looked at the woman now for the first time, because she was behind him. And also he asked Simon to look at her. The one whom you despised her, please look at her, that you may learn a lesson from her. Now she is your teacher. And I will make a contrast between you and her, her behavior and your behavior, as I mentioned in the parable. So he told him, do you see this woman? As if the Lord saying to Simon, Simon, do you see her love? Do you see her repentance? Do you see her devotion? That's what I see, but you're blind. You cannot see all of this. I entered your house. You give me no water for my feet. Simon denied the Lord Jesus Christ the common courtesy from a host to a guest, washing the feet, a kiss for a greeting, and anointing the head with oil. And now you are criticizing this woman for giving these courtesies to me. You did not even anoint my head by oil, but she used this expensive ointment for my feet, which is more expensive than the oil. This woman, by her faith and by her loving action, she was forgiven more. But you are self-righteous, Simon. And this self-righteousness appeared in condemning me and condemning this woman. Her sins, which are many, though she was like the largest debtor in the parable, owed 500 denarii, but everything is cleared now. Though her sins were numerous and publicly known in the whole city, yet all these sins are freely forgiven for her, for her great love. And actually, he forgave her, that's why she loved him, not the opposite. Not because she loved him, he forgave her. Because if the forgiveness because of her love, this means that she earned the forgiveness. But the Lord said he freely forgave them both. But because of the forgiveness, she loved him. The full and free remission of her many sins, which became very manifest to her, this is the cause of her great love that she expressed by her tears and pouring the fragrant oil on the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Simon, you think or you perceive or you believe that little is forgiven for you because you are self-righteous. That's why your love for God is little. The Lord here implies that this little forgiveness that was given to Simon, it is Simon's own fault because of his self-righteousness. He did not think that he is in need of any forgiveness. And this actually story is a powerful lesson illustrate to us the relationship between forgiveness and love. When you believe that God forgive many to you or much to you, you will love him more. If our love toward God is weak, maybe we don't realize how many sins he forgave to us, like Simon the Pharisee. Then actually, Jesus proved to Simon that he knew the secret of her soul as well as the secret of his mind. So he affirmed the fullness of his knowledge that she received this forgiveness, and now she expressed her love because she received this forgiveness. That's why now he formally and publicly assured her of her forgiveness. As we read in verse 48, then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He publicly announced the forgiveness. But the guests thought and reasoned in their own mind and whispered among one another. They began to say to themselves, who is this who forgives sins? But the Lord ignored this comment. He did not enter into explanation to answer these thoughts. But he dismissed the woman in peace because he wanted to protect her from the condemnation of these arrogant, self-righteous people. That's why, after announcing the forgiveness of her sins, he intended to confirm her faith by pointing out to her faith when he told her, your faith has saved you. So her faith is the ground of her spiritual deliverance. We see in this story, the woman came to Jesus in complete humility, with the attitude that she was not worthy to even be in his presence. She stood at the back. That was a good way for her to come to Jesus. But he did not want her to stay in this house where people are condemning her, looking down on her. So he raised her up by announcing her faith, her forgiveness, her love. He acknowledged her love. He forgave her sins, and he sent her in peace. This sinful woman has manifested to God greater gratitude in her love than the self-righteous Pharisee. Her repentance for the sins of her life has made her more open to God's mercy than the Pharisee, who actually, because of his self-righteousness, he withheld the customary courtesies that he should offer to his guest, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.